This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm News Time here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have reports from Whitney Pittman and Tyler Donaldson as well. There's scattered snow and rain showing up on radar this morning from southern South Dakota, southwestern Minnesota, and Iowa as well. A winter weather advisory is in place for much of northern North Dakota this morning due to blowing snow. After strong overnight winds, conditions will gradually improve this morning.
Commodity Classic attendees were hoping for an announcement regarding tax credits and sustainable aviation fuel with Friday's appearance by Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and EPA Administrator Michael Regan. Vilsack said this is a complex issue and will take more time.
We're going to take a few more weeks, and I mean weeks, not months, to make sure that the guidance is correct, that it acknowledges the work that's being done in reducing greenhouse gas emissions relative to transportation fuels and the good work that's being done out in the field to embrace climate smart practices.
The Treasury Department is still weighing its decision on how it will allocate tax credits for sustainable aviation fuel, but the National Corn Growers Association is firm in its belief. NCGA delegates made it clear the so-called GREET model should be used to make that determination. Greenhouse gases, regulated emissions, and energy used in transportation, or GREET, is described by NCGA President Harold Woolley as the accurate and fair calculation of corn's environmental picture.
The EPA approved year-round use of 15% ethanol blends beginning in 2025. That means Midwestern states will again be forced to seek an emergency waiver for this summer's driving season. EPA Administrator Michael Regan will be made in the months ahead.
The way the process works is we have to make that determination within a specific time frame, looking at a specific level of data. So I will approach this year the same as I have in the previous years. I would also like to say that we have responded to the petition of the 8 governors. And, you know, this administration, as the Secretary said, we're committed to E15. We're committed to advanced biofuels. We're committed to all of these things that are encouraging and helping our economy grow.
Regan acknowledged this process may look like a last-minute decision, which can be disruptive.
But that is the process that we have at the moment, and if you look at the previous 2 years, I think we've delivered.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz says the state can be a leader in sustainable aviation fuel and climate-smart practices after gaining year-round access to E15 starting in 2025.
You know, between the University of Minnesota and our commodity groups putting a lot of resources into that, we're preparing. Look, it's going to be drier in the future. Ag folks know that the climate's changing, but it's not the sky is falling. It's like, how are we going to fix this? How are we going to be part of the solution? And whether it is in sustainable aviation fuel or whether it's figuring out how do we make sure that we have drought-resistant products out there, we're going to have to do it. It's a challenge, though. I'm worried. I'm worried the moisture levels are looking pretty low. But look, it's March, but we have to be ready anyway. The world's hungry, needs fuel, needs fiber. And so Minnesota will help provide it.
Wall says it is important to expand and continue research.
The innovation campus up in the Northwest, I mean, we can't back off on all that. Now more than ever, these research that we do at the land-grant universities, the work that's being done out there. And again, the checkup programs and the commodity programs that, you know, that keep it in people's eye, that we shouldn't take this for granted. It's going to become more difficult to grow crops. It's going to become more difficult to do some of these things. We need to have the tools to do it. So, yeah, I'm pleased about this. I would make my plug if I'm not sure if we can get them to do it, but it would be great if Congress could pass a farm bill, because there is research dollars in that. That's some of the stuff that states can't do it alone. A good farm bill would really help.
The 2024 Agricultural Appropriations Bill has been unveiled. North Dakota Senator John Hovind, who chairs the Senate Agriculture Appropriations Committee, said this bill supports farmers and ranchers while finding savings to help with the deficit. It includes over $7 billion for nutrition programs, an increase of $1 billion from fiscal year 2023. It's also $2 million to establish a new Ag Policy Research Center at North Dakota State University.
Strong winds are stoking the massive wildfires across the Texas Panhandle. Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller estimates tens of thousands of cattle have been killed, many more injured, and will need to be euthanized. This fire is the largest in Texas state history. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The American Sugar Beet Growers Association will be on Capitol Hill for the next 2 weeks to meet with lawmakers. These farmers will be meeting with lawmakers at a time when Congress is operating under yet another continuing resolution, and there is no farm bill in sight.
The message is very clear from agriculture, with the input prices going up 30% plus since the previous farm bill. We need a little bit more of a safety net if we're going to have a locally produced, American produced, safe, affordable food supply. What that is, I don't really know. I don't think anybody has the answer, but much of it depends upon what you just mentioned. I mean, how does the appropriations process work, and what monies are available to support some of these programs, including food safety and food production.
ASGA President Neil Rockstead said a lengthy amendment process is expected when a farm bill finally comes up for debate.
The amendment process can get messy because in my view as a farmer, it provides an opportunity for any legislator to make a statement publicly by introducing an amendment. Whether the amendment goes to a vote or is pulled on the floor of the House, for example, or just before it gets to the floor, it's an opportunity to make a statement. But it's certainly something that sugar specifically is always wary of, and we always prevail on those amendments because we have a sound policy and honest facts to go along with it.
A shortage of veterinarians in rural areas is causing problems for the ag industry. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
The University of Minnesota College of Veterinary Medicine Dean, Dr. Laura Mulligard, says legislation may be able to help solve rural veterinarian shortages in Minnesota.
Some of the legislation that we've been advocating for has included in the past has been loan forgiveness programs, rural loan forgiveness programs that help provide financial support for students that are doing practice in rural areas. That's really important because the income that these students are going to be seeing in those rural communities are not necessarily the same that they would in the Twin Cities, but yet they are graduating with the same amount of debt.
Other options are on the table that would help alleviate support staff shortages as well.
This year, what we were looking at is a change to the state's Practice Act that would create some flexibility for the university to hire highly qualified faculty. Our state's Practice Act was unnecessarily restrictive, and we, in addition to seeing the shortage of veterinarians in general, there's a critical shortage of veterinary faculty as well. That has doubled in the last 10 years. So we needed that kind of flexibility like other states have. And then there is also a bill to license veterinary technicians and give them the recognition they deserve.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
World Trade Organization negotiations went into overtime at its ministerial meeting in Dubai, but failed to reach consensus on agriculture or any other major trade initiatives. India unsuccessfully pushed for an expansion of its public stockholding program, policy used to purchase, stockpile, and redistribute food to needy people. This program is promoted as a food security measure, but the United States described the public stockholding plan as an expansion of trade-distorting policy.
Kleis Commodity Advisors President Al Kleis is encouraging clients to spread out their risk and be an incremental seller.
I think that we're in the process right now of probably bottoming the grain markets, but we get the spring-summer rally. We could be very low prices again by next fall. So you really have to be a seasonal seller. You've got to be disciplined, and you have to be close your eyes sometimes, Don, and just sell into the weather market rallies.
Kleis, who led a learning session at Commodity Classic, said growers are looking for an opportunity to hedge at a profit.
Election years, we tend to get rallies later in the year. Don't ask me why. I'm not a politician. But right now, you've kind of got the worst of both worlds. You've got low futures, wide basis. So it's a good time for people who need to be buying corn to buy that corn. But really right now is not a time to be selling anything.
The American Soybean Association presented Hallock, Minnesota farmer Teresa Gilley with its Outstanding State Volunteer Award. Gilley is a past president of the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association and has been one of the state's top membership recruiters. Gilley is also a strong advocate on farm policy issues and farmer mental health.
Bongard's Creameries has been awarded $20 million in new market tax credit financing to expand its cheese and whey processing plant in Pearl, Minnesota. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The return on investment for soybean checkoff dollars has done very well in recent years. For more on this, we go to Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson.
With almost a quarter of 2024 gone already, the United Soybean Board is considering project proposals for the 2025 spending year. Board Executive Committee member Lawrence Sukalski says that things are still in the early planning stages, but that they already have a good idea of how they want to put this money to work.
We just met last week down in Kentucky, and we're figuring on 25 projects. We've already chosen our 24 projects last July, and so last week we spent a lot of time looking at what we can spend our money on and everything, you know, more export, more on the fuels, more on the side for feed.
According to Sikalski, the checkoff dollar has done very well in the past for soybean growers.
The checkoff has been successful for doing a lot of things, like lately the tires, the shoes, the asphalt. We have nutritionists in 80 different countries and veterinarians show them how to use our product. It's really been good. As a matter of fact, every 4 or 5 years they need to do a return on investment, and right now for every dollar invested, we're getting $12.34 back.
Sukalski says that discussions were also had over the growing supply chain issues both locally and abroad and how to best work around these issues for soybean exports.
As a matter of fact, some people are looking at maybe the St. Lawrence Seaway as another route. As you know, and you're talking about how dry it is in the Mississippi, how dry it is in the Panama Canal. And then we almost had an engineering strike from the railroad last fall. It would have been a perfect storm. And then Suez Canal and how people are going to have to go all the way around Africa to move these soybeans, move other products. So a lot of discussion how we can try to make that better.
That was United Soybean Board Executive Committee member Lawrence Sukalski. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
U.S. Commodities President Don Rose says as we start the month of March, grain traders are shifting their focus to weather.
I think, you know, when you look at the structure of the market, big negative basis levels for the front months here on the beans. But, you know, they're pretty close to 50% harvested now, and that's when the end user starts to light up, and you've got premiums going into the our summer months here in the Brazil soybean.
Checking markets this morning as we speak. Minneapolis wheat, the May contract, a 3 cent gain at 6.46¾. Chicago wheat for May, down a penny. Hard red winter wheat, same contract, 2¼ higher. May corn, 4¼ better. 4.29 is the quote. July, 3½ higher. The soybean market, May, 11.60¼, 9 cents higher. We got new crop beans gaining 5¾ cents, quoted at 11.45½. Again, a big thank you to all the folks we saw during the past few days at Commodity Classic. They had just about 11,500 people in attendance, all-time record attendance for this year's Commodity Classic, breaking the 10,000 plus we had a year ago in Orlando. And a quick note on the calendar, CHS Ag Services has its Ag Industry Day. That's coming up on Thursday. That'll be held in Grand Forks. And the next big national convention, the National Farmers Union, that'll be in Scottsdale. That meeting will start this upcoming Sunday. Have yourself a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.